This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Shady's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show. Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio, coming to you live from Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island for the 2021 PGA Championship, brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island, as we'll be out here all weekend long. Brooks Koepka, the leader right now. He's into the clubhouse at 3-under today. Same, too, with Keegan Bradley. Colin Morikawa is on his final hole of the day. He, too, is 3-under. Those are your leaders right now for day one of the 2021 PGA Championship. We'll keep you updated all afternoon long, all weekend long. We're here until a champion is crowned Sunday evening. We'll have you covered this weekend for the 2021 PGA Championship. But not only will this tournament wrap up on Sunday, we'll also have the next Charleston Battery game. They play Sunday against the New York Red Bulls at 2 o'clock. You can get tickets online at charlestonbattery.com as the Battery will be looking for their first win. And joining us now is a member of the Charleston Battery, one of their defenders, Jared Van Schaik, is with us. Jared, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate the time. We're two games into the season. You guys play this weekend. So far, just about a week or two into the season, how have things been going so far for you and the team?
Yeah, they've been good. We've been training hard. We had, you know, a pretty long preseason, so trained hard for a good couple months. And then, you know, we've had a little bit of a rocky start to the season, but that's how it goes sometimes. And we're looking to get back after it this weekend and get off on the right foot.
We were out there last week for the home opener. We've talked to some of your teammates. We talked to your coach. What was your off season like? Obviously, with the pandemic, nothing's been normal the last 12 months. Your season wasn't normal last year. We're starting to get closer to normal. But for you, getting ready for the season, working even with the team, what was the off season like for you to get ready for this upcoming year?
Yeah, it was a little slow, right? It seemed like everything just kind of came to a halt, training-wise and everything else. You know, not a ton of numbers, at least where I was. And so trying to get everything back to normalcy, I'm excited for that. You know, obviously they have us at half capacity right now, which is great. But, yeah, you know, a little bit of a slow start, but it is what it is.
You've been with the Battery pretty much since 2013. There was a year there that you played in OKC. For the home opener the other night, what was that like, as you mentioned, to get some of the fans back, half capacity? I was there for the home opener. From my experience in the crowd, it seemed like a great experience, a great atmosphere, good vibe. What was it like playing the other night, getting some more fans back for the home opener?
Yeah, it was awesome. You nailed it. The atmosphere was great. You know, the best we've had in really, I guess, 2 years, you know. And so I think it's just something we can just keep building on as the season goes forward. Obviously disappointed with the final score of the game, but overall playing in front of fans again, getting the juices flowing, getting the heart rate pumping, it felt great. It felt really good.
Yeah, how big of a challenge was it last year, both home and road, playing in, you know, almost fully empty stadiums? When you get the fans back the other night, I'm sure, you know, you appreciate it. You remember what that was like to have those full stadiums again. But how much of a challenge was it last year playing during the pandemic?
You know, it's a little bit weird at first, but you get used to it. I thought even, you know, we had in the few hundreds, I think, at our games, and I even felt the atmosphere at those games was okay. It was quieter, but even the fans that were there made it feel special. So I think now that we've just been able to add fans, it's only going to get better. You know, it's one of those things, you just get used to it. It does feel, you know, especially in some of the bigger stadiums when they're empty, it does have a little bit of that hollow feeling almost. But yeah.
You've been with the team, as mentioned, since 2013, so you've been with them for a while. What are some of the biggest changes you've seen, just even with the organization? I mean, obviously new ownership now with Rob Salvatore. He's been on the show a handful of times. He's bringing a lot of new changes to Patriots Point. And from my perspective, has done a great job building up that stadium and the things for the team. For you, as a player who's been here, part of this organization going on about 8 years now, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen or noticed since you first came to Charleston?
Yeah, and, you know, I love the old stadium too, but I love what they've done. I love the rebranding. We're getting a little more technologically savvy, it feels like. you know, even just electronic tickets and really pushing the social media side of things. And so that's quite a bit different. It's a lot of the same, you know, it's a lot of the same staff still around, a lot of the same coaching. The fields are good. Everything's starting to come together, and you can feel kind of the buzz around town. And obviously, we're a little closer downtown now too, which I'm hoping will keep bringing the fans in.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Talk about Jared Van Schaik from the Charleston Battery, because, you know, worldwide, golf is the number one sport. Maybe that's not the case here in this country, but I do think we are seeing a growth in the popularity of soccer in this country. There's a push now. We'll see if we get to this point, but the World Cup happening every 2 years instead of 4 years. I know certain countries want to make that possible. So
yeah.
From your experience just playing in Charleston, have you noticed a difference with the Battery, with the fan base, with the passion of the fans? Do you feel like this team, this fan base has grown maybe considerably in your time here in Charleston?
I think so. You know, it's hard. Again, with COVID, it's been hard to tell,
yeah.
Especially with the new ownership coming in. But I think it's always been growing, and South Carolina's maybe a little bit behind some other places around the country. But you definitely as you go around, I see more of our bumper sticker logos around. I see more signs. I see it seems like more people are starting to know who we are and hopefully pay attention a little bit.
Now, you're originally from Portland, Oregon, and, out there, I think of the soccer team in Seattle. I remember back when I was in college, I went to college in Connecticut, and people loved watching the soccer out there. So from growing up in Portland, looking back at Oregon, a team like the Seattle Sounders, I mean, how big is soccer out there? When you grew up, how big was soccer in the area that you grew up?
Yeah, I kind of saw it firsthand when the Timbers were an NASL team or an A-League team or whatever it was back then. And I kind of got to see firsthand the growth and the transformation from a minor league team and into the MLS team they are now. And it's crazy how many, and it's like, it can happen so fast. You know, it can be at the flick of a switch and all of a sudden you got a packed house, 30,000 plus fans screaming everything. You know, it's almost a soccer town. I mean, Portland's always been a bit of a soccer town, but it's huge now, so it's cool. It's exciting. It's an exciting time for soccer.
Let's talk about the first couple of games this year for you in the Battery. Put your coaching hat on. Looking back at that home opener, where did you think some of the things may have went wrong for you guys the other night?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I really don't think, the score looks bad, but I really don't think the score reflected how well we played. Obviously, if you make a few mistakes, you can get punished by good players, and hats off to Charlotte, they played well, but it just didn't feel like we really got played off the park and deserved a 3-0 loss. We gave up a couple fouls, kind of, one penalty, one foul around the box, and they punished us on both of them, a great free kick, and the guy buried his penalty. But I think if those plays go slightly differently, it's a completely different game. You know, even possession-wise, we were right there, 50-50 corners. I believe we had three. I don't think they had any. So, looking back, you look at the statistics of the game and go, the score looks bad. But other than that, I didn't think we played all that poorly. We got to fix a few things, obviously. And I'm not saying we deserve to win or anything, but I don't think it was severe as the score shows.
And now you take on the New York Red Bulls, too, this weekend at home, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock start. Tickets available online at charlestonbattery.com. You played them in the opener up in their place in the Northeast. You played them to a tie, which on the road, could be seen as a victory. Well, give us a scouting report. How did you match up? Because last year at the pandemic, you only played a handful of teams last year. Now you play New York here twice early on. What's the scouting report on this team and what you saw going back about 2 weeks now?
Yeah, so, New York's had the kind of the same scouting report for the past, five, however long they've been in the league, which is that they're high-pressed, high-paced, it's a fast game, it's an exciting game. And looking back on our first game, I personally made a pretty critical mistake that cost us a goal. And you just can't do that. You can't reward a team that plays that way. They're high-pressuring by giving away a silly mistake. So, I think if we clean that up, we kind of know what they're about. It's been, to be fair, a tricky first couple games because we had a high-pressing New York team. We go there and we get, their exact game, and then we face a Charlotte team who kind of came to us and kind of sat in almost a completely different game. And now it could shift back to that high-paced game again. So we'll see what they do. They might not do that again, but we got to be ready for anything and navigate our way through this tough start.
You mentioned the first game, maybe the error you had. Hey, there's a reason why you're the captain. You're a good leader for this team. So for you personally, are you looking forward to Sunday, almost like a chance of retribution to get back, not only as a team, try to beat them this time, but also for you personally to put your best foot forward against New York on Sunday?
Yeah, of course. It sucks to make a mistake, and, you know, everyone knows it. I know it. I got to move on from it as well. But that's the way it goes. You make a mistake, and then you got to have a short-term memory and get on with it. And thanks to the guys, they kind of bailed me out. And even that game as well, I thought we played well, really, the entire game. We just can't seem to bury our chances.
You're a captain for the team. You're one of the veterans here on the team. You've been here for a while. When you bring back a lot of the core from this team from last year, and you guys were really good a year ago, but there are some newcomers. You have a teammate who just played college at Maryland, playing professionally for the first time. As a veteran, as a captain, do you take some of the new guys, maybe under your arm? Do you make sure that you help some of the younger players get comfortable with the team, with the area, the community, as they come into the Charleston Battery?
Yeah, that's a big thing. You want everyone to be comfortable. The more comfortable people are, the better they're going to play. The more confidence people have, the better they're going to play. So anything you can do to get these guys along and get them up to speed, and to be fair to our new guys, a lot of them don't seem to be. I think they're on the ball. They're bringing the right intensity to training every day. They seem to take care of their bodies off the field. They seem to be fit. So I got no complaints so far for the new guys.
Before we let you go, I do have to ask you, talking with Jared Van Schaik from the Battery, you didn't mention this earlier when we talked about the offseason. I heard that you and your fiance welcomed a baby girl, so congratulations. What has it been like being a father while also being a professional soccer player?
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun. It's like 90% fun and excitement, and then like 10% challenge and struggle, I like to say. But overall, really enjoyable. She was a New Year's baby, January 1st, so
wow.
Nice, easy birthday to remember, nice and exciting as well.
Yes.
It's been great.
Is everybody with you here in Charleston, the whole family, you guys all together?
Yeah. I mean, my dad and all them are back in Portland, but yeah, Jamie's here. Yeah.
Right. So, how's the baby sleeping? Are you able to get enough rest this time of year at the soccer season? Are you being kept up late at night? How's it been going?
I got to wake up here and there, but she's actually not bad, and she's getting better and better every week. So, it's one of those things. You take a couple steps forward, and you think you got it all down, and then the next week you hit a little rough patch again. But overall, it's been great. Jamie, my fiance, crushes it, makes my life really easy, so.
Hey, and a lot of people driving around can certainly relate to all that you just said. He's Jared Van Schaik, captain and defender of the Charleston Battery. They play Sunday against the New York Red Bulls. So if you're not coming out here to the PGA Championship, you can go check out the Battery on Sunday. Jared, are you a golf fan at all?
A little bit, and I had my hands on some practice round tickets to that event, and none of my friends wanted to go with me, so I'm a little disappointed about that.
Yeah, it's too bad. We'll have to, before Sunday's game, we'll have to get you out here this weekend at some point. Come watch the golf here at the PGA Championship. He's Jared Van Schaik, one of the captains and a defender of the Charleston Battery. They play Sunday against the New York Red Bulls. Jared, appreciate all the time. Happy to hear everyone's doing well with your daughter and your fiance. And best of luck not only on Sunday, but throughout this season.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. Jared Van Schaik of the Charleston Battery. They play Sunday against the New York Red Bulls, too. They opened the season with them up in New York or New Jersey, and now we'll be playing them on Sunday. So if you're not heading out here this weekend, go check out the Charleston Battery. They're at 50% capacity right now for their home games, and you can get tickets online at charlestonbattery.com. I was there for the home opener. We broadcasted out there last Friday for the home opener. It was a lot of fun. So if you have kids, if you're a soccer fan, if you're just looking for something to do Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock game on a Sunday afternoon, maybe you're not into the golf. You don't care to be at home watching it or coming out to the course. You can go on over there and watch the Battery play against the New York Red Bulls number 2. Not the main team, but the second one. That's going on Sunday at 2. Appreciate the time from Jared. Coming up, I've been teasing it this afternoon. We'll get to it when we come back. CBSSports.com. Put out their list. They power ranked all the head coaches in the Power 5 conferences. And I was surprised by where Shane Beamer found himself. We'll get to that when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Tonight, walking in Memphis. feel walking in Memphis.
It's the Morrow Midday Show. Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Blake, what day is One Hit Wonders on Fan Talk?
Yesterday.
Ah.
Wednesday.
Okay. I was going to say, this could probably fit in, right?
Yeah, Mark Kahn.
Yeah, was he a One Hit Wonder?
He may have had something that tried to be a hit. I don't think it never made number one.
Yeah, that's what usually happens. They come out with one song, and they try to come up with another, and you can't get there.
Can't get there. Just can't do it.
It's a great song, though.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'd rather have one hit than no hits. That's what a lot of these, if you ever hear interviews with the One Hit Wonders and they ask them about it and having to play the same song every night, and it's like, hey, you know, you make a living off of that. You can support yourself off of one song. It's better than having no songs.
That should be the list you make. If you were a one hit, what who do you think the one hit wonder is? What one hit wonder would you hate to be?
Ooh,
like
that's
Vanilla
a good
Ice.
Question. Yeah. Although, yeah. I mean, yes, I would, but he's made quite the career. He's in movies and like TV shows, almost laughing at him instead of, you know, with him, but still he's had some success. It's a cheesy song. It's obviously a ripoff, but that'd be a good one. That'd be high up there.
Between
that's
that
a good question.
And Go Ninja Go. What Bobby say?
Bobby's yelling at me. Wait till Sheldon Cooper does an album, is what he said.
Oh.
Yeah, that'll be the one.
How to sleep with your eyes
yeah,
open.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a hit on that album, please. There's no hit in that TV show. Pro soccer's back in the Lowcountry. Appreciate Jared Van Schaik joining us last segment. Pro soccer is back in the Lowcountry as the Charleston Battery take on the New York Red Bulls, number two, this Sunday at 2 o'clock. Live from Patriots Point. Don't miss a minute of the action. Tickets start at just $12. You can enjoy live music, the beer garden, local food trucks come in every game, and that's all at the Battery Pavilion at Patriots Point inside the gates. Limited tickets still available online, charlestonbattery.com. Go get your tickets today and watch them this Sunday. I was out there for the home openers. A lot of fun. Appreciate Jared joining us. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Or find us the podcast online at charlestonsportsradio.com. I'm going to have to think about that. We may circle back to that tomorrow. Which one-hit wonder would you actually not want to be? Or who would be last on your list that you would choose to be? That's a very good question. I've never thought of that. I'll have to put some thought into that over the next 24 hours. We're out at Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island for the 2021 PGA Championship. And we'll be out here all weekend long. Special shows on Saturday and Sunday. You can always stop by, come see us, and have a chance to win a foursome at Stono Ferry as well as some other prizes. Our coverage all week long brought to you by I Promise I Vitamins, Freshfield Village on Kiawah Island, and Starling Chevrolet. So the college football season is 100 days out. Earlier we went through who could be on upset alert to begin the season week one. You can find that on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. But I found this list that was put out by CBS Sports, and I found it interesting as they ranked the 65 Power 5 college football coaches from best to worst. And if you start at the top, obviously I won't go through all 65. But just looking at the top of the list, they have Nick Saban number one, Dabo number two. I would agree with those two. They put Lincoln Riley at number three, followed by Ryan Day, Brian Kelly at number five. I don't know how exactly I would order the rest of the top five. I have no complaints. I think those guys are certainly up there. You can make a strong case for each of them to be somewhere from three to five or certainly at least in the top ten. Just to give you the top ten that they had on CBSSports.com. Jimbo Fisher, number six. Kirby Smart, number seven. I'd like to see him win some big games first. Pat Fitzgerald, number eight. Matt Campbell, number nine. Dan Mullen, number ten. That's how they had their top ten. And I love these lists. I always find this interesting. You know, Coach O's 11, Mac Brown 12, then you get to James Franklin, so on and so forth. I said I won't go through all 65. And then as you get towards the back end of the list and you start seeing who's ranked towards the bottom, if you went through, let's say, the bottom 10, the 10 worst coaches in Power 5 football, according to CBSSports.com, the 10th worst, they have Jonathan Smith, head coach of Oregon State. The 9th worst is Mel Tucker at Michigan State. The eighth worst is Nick Rolovich at Washington State. Then you have Dino Babers. Matt Wells, who I just said on the show earlier this week, he could be the coach that rewards his AD's patience. CBS Sports is not so high on him. They rank him 60 out of 65. Then you get to Mike Locksley at Maryland. I'm sure you could see where I'm going with this by now. Dave Aranda of Baylor is number 62. Clark Lee at Vanderbilt is 63. Jed Fish of Arizona is 64. And last on the list for CBSSports.com, of the 65 Power 5 coaches, they put Shane Beamer at number 65. What they said in regards to him, because they provided a little blurb for each of these coaches, they said, every year we tend to see new coaches without experience running their own program end up on the bottom of the list. Beamer has a famous name and plenty of experience as an assistant at the Power 5 level, but he's never been a coordinator, which probably hurt him compared to his two fellow newcomers. Now, I was obviously tough on the hiring of Shane Beamer to begin with for the Gamecocks, and I was told he'll be out here Sunday for the PGA Championship out here on Sunday. But even though I was tough on the hiring, I think that's a hard pill to swallow to rank him last. And I can understand why. He's never been a coordinator. He's never been a head coach before. You don't have much to judge him on. So it's the safest thing to put him last instead of trying to put him above somebody else who maybe has more experience, at least as a coordinator. But to give no, absolutely zero benefit of the doubt, I find surprising. I mean, for example, Jed Fish is the coach right ahead of him, new coach at Arizona. Jed Fish has never been a head coach before. He's been an offensive coordinator. He's worked in the NFL. He worked most recently with Bill Belichick. But he's never been a head coach, and he's bounced around. He's worked in the NFL. I've never considered Jed Fish as some sort of, you know, I don't put him in the same group as like a Steve Sarkisian, as one of the best offensive minds as a coordinator in football. He's ahead of him. Clark Lee going to Vanderbilt, who was the defensive coordinator for Notre Dame, has never been a head coach before, taking over one of the toughest jobs in the Power 5 with Vanderbilt. He's ranked ahead of Shane Beamer. Even Dave Aranda, who was a total bust at Baylor in year one as a head coach. Then you get into the conversation of, you know, what's more important, having experience, even if that experience is no good, or having no experience. You know, do we think that Dave Aranda, from what we saw year one, that he'll be much better simply just because he has a year under his belt, even though it was a terrible year, than Shane Beamer, who doesn't have any years as a head coach under his belt? Mike Locksley is 61 at Maryland. Mike Locksley is a terrible coach. He was 2-26 at New Mexico. He lied. He got in trouble with the law. They fired him. He winds up at Maryland. And granted, at Maryland, he's done a pretty good job, but he's 5-12 there. So Locksley, so far, as a head coach, is 7-38. And we're going to put him ahead of Shane Beamer just because he's never been a coach before? Are the expectations that low? Now, we think he won't even match up to a Mike Locksley, who has won 7 games in 4 years? That's the expectation? Matt Wells, who I like. I went to bat for Matt Wells earlier this week on the show, head coach of Texas Tech, but he's been on the hot seat since he got there. Some of the other coaches you look at, you know, Mel Tucker at Michigan State, Jonathan Smith at Oregon State, you have Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech is number 55. And my point being in all this, will Beamer end up being a better head coach than all of these guys, some of these guys? I have no idea. We'll find out. But I do find it interesting that he's given zero benefit of the doubt. I'm not telling you to put him in the top 40 or the top maybe even 50, but could you put him ahead of a couple of these guys? Maybe it's as simple as, well, he's never done it before. But neither has Clark Lee, neither has Jed Fish. You know, Dave Aranda's done it for 1 year and they won 2 games. Does that really mean a whole lot more than having zero experience? So I was surprised by the list. I wasn't all that high on the hire. I don't know how high I would rank him if I actually sat down and put together my top 65 coaches, if I ordered all 65 coaches in the Power 5. And this is, of course, is not the be-all, end-all. It's one company's thought, right? CBSSports.com put this list together with all of their different writers. There was a whole voting system, and you know, you rank them. But for nobody to give him any benefit of the doubt at all, to just simply rank him last because he has no experience, I found surprising and maybe even unfair. If you were picking coaches from this list to come run your program, would he be the very last pick? I think I would take a chance on a Shane Beamer prior to a Mike Locksley. I think I would take a chance on him maybe even before a Mel Tucker or a Jonathan Smith, right? Or Dave Aranda, or either of the two newcomers, Clark Lee and Jed Fish. Jed Fish is in his 40s. He's never had an opportunity to be a head coach before. Somebody may look at that and see that as a red flag. How come nobody's thought to hire him before? He's been around coaching football for 20 years. Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. Do we think that is going to work out? And more so than Shane Beamer in Columbia. So I saw this list, and I wanted to see, where did they put Beamer? And I was surprised to have to scroll all the way to the bottom to see him at 65. I don't know if he will work out. I don't know how many coaches he'll be better than. But I just find it surprising that you could give him zero benefit of the doubt and put him behind some of these other guys. Mike Locksley. who's won 7 games in 4 seasons. And Arya's been fired before. But just because he has that experience, even though it's bad experience, right? At least he's done it before, so we think he's a better coach. If I'm hiring new coaches today, I probably take a chance with Beamer than I do before I do with a Loxley. And Loxley did a great job as the offensive coordinator. He's a good recruiter, and he did well at Alabama. But as a head coach, so far he's been a bit of a disaster. He's been better at Maryland than he was at New Mexico State. But, you know, at what point does experience truly matter if it's bad experience? Well, at least he did it before. Yeah, but, you know, you failed. You did a terrible job. Does that really matter to somebody who's never done it before? It's like breaking old habits. It's what people will say when they hire people. Will Ferrell had that line in The Office when he hired like the intern or the assistant, and she had no prior experience, and he said he liked that because he had no bad habits to break. It's almost like that conversation. Do you prefer somebody with no experience or somebody that does have experience, but it was poor experience? Right? Do you want to hire somebody right out of college, or do you want to hire somebody that, yeah, sure, they've worked in that industry before, but they didn't do a very good job, and you're going to have to break them from their habits, as opposed to the person out of college where you can mold them however you wish and have them do the, you know, work a certain way, be a certain type of employee for your company. It's not exactly the same here because they're a head coach. They're the ones running the organization. They're not being molded so much. But still, the idea, at what point does experience not matter? That's the question. Just because someone's been a head coach before, if they've been a lousy head coach, who cares? A lot of those guys don't get a second opportunity for a reason, because the first experience was so bad. So I'm going to bat for Shane Beamer. I do not like the hire at the time, but I also don't think I would put him last on the list of Group of Five coaches, or Power Five coaches, heading into this year. I think it's a little unfair that just because he hasn't done it before, and yeah, sure, he's never been a coordinator, all the concerns I had. But even I don't think I would rank him all the way in the bottom of coaches in the Power 5 like CBS Sports did. Gamecock fans, happy 100-day mark from the college football season. That's the talk right now around the program heading into the upcoming season. Instead of being excited about the new coach, at least one national publication, CBSSports.com, says he's the worst in all of college football, at least of the Power 5 conferences. Coming up, more from the PGA Championship. Maybe we'll even check in with Ricky Fowler, talk to the media. Let's see, Keegan Bradley talked to the media. He's at the top of the leaderboard. Brooks Koepka is talking to the media right now. So too is Bryson DeChambeau. Colin Morikawa is set to talk to the media. So maybe we'll get some sound coming up from some of the golfers here in the PGA Championship. We're out at Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island for the 2021 PGA Championship. And we'll check in on that leaderboard and maybe hear from some of the golfers as well when we come back. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Well, pick me up with golden hand. Oh, let's sail. Oh, let's tell you to run.
All the way. All the way.
Everybody say, everybody on. Well, I would like to hold my little hand. How about we run with? How about crying?
It's the Mar Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio from the 2021 PGA Championship. We're live from Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island all week long with you through Sunday to crown a champion. Our coverage brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise I Vitamins, in Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. Now, is that a one-hit wonder as well? Rusted Root, do they have any other hits?
I think that was it.
Yeah, I think that's all.
So Flash in the Pan, and then I think they just use it recent. Wasn't that song used recently in a commercial?
I think so. It's used all the time. I think it was like in the movie Matilda. It was in all sorts of things back in the 90s. It's been in a bunch of movies. Yeah, I think it's in like a car commercial or
something. Never know what he's saying. What was able to young?
Yeah, right. That's the trick. Yeah. You know, it's like the Crash Test Dummies had a song where they just hummed in the chorus. They didn't know what they were saying, but it became a hit for them. People can't criticize it. We're out here at the 2021 PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka tied for the lead. He's in the clubhouse today, finishing in round, finishing his first day at 3-under, tied with Keegan Bradley. And let's hear from Keegan Bradley. Just spoke with the media. He's in the lead very early on in this whole thing, but halfway through day one, he's in the clubhouse. 3-under par is the leader, and Bradley just spoke with the media. Here was what Keegan Bradley had to say.
21 PGA Championship here at the Ocean Course, Kiawah Island, South Carolina. We are joined by Keegan Bradley, who posted a 369 today. Terrific play all the way through, really, Keegan. Maybe talk about the good feeling you got early and rode it right through, and what you experienced out there a little
bit?
Yeah,
I played so good today. I hit the ball about as good as I can hit it. I just some days you get out there and you go, I'm going to aim it at that tree and draw it off that tree, and it comes right up that tree and does what you're thinking. And today was one of those days. I made one sort of bad swing on 18, but got away with it and made a great par on 18. But today was a fun day. It was the course is nerve-wracking and difficult, and to go out there and shoot that score, I'm proud of that.
Terrific. Let's hit the questions 7 and then 8.
Yeah, you obviously played well here in 2012. Do you draw any good mojo from that, or is that so long ago that it feels like, you know, a different lifetime?
It's so long ago, but in the back of my mind, I know that this is a good course for me, and that sort of proves that from 2012. It's a much different – there's holes are all lengthened. I don't remember many shots from that tournament, but I do know that this is a ball striker's course and that I'm very comfortable out here. But it's – better than not playing well in 2012, but I love this place, and it's a fun course to play.
Do you feel like you have changed a lot and your life has changed a lot since then?
Yeah, I mean, I have two kids now. It was a totally different time in my life. I remember sitting upstairs here, and I was finally on the Ryder Cup team. That's the one memory I have, is sitting in the locker room and sort of realizing that dream of making a Ryder Cup team, that the points were done after the PGA then when it was played, and being so proud of that and being so in awe. So that's really the memory I have here, but it's just a great venue to play golf in a major.
Let's go 8.
Keegan, you mentioned the poor drive on 18. Are you a little bit surprised, or I guess what are your thoughts on having that grandstand 10 to 15 yards off the edge of the fairway?
It's definitely comforting that it's there. I mean, it's the right side of the hole is so, the bunkers are so dead over there, but I wasn't trying to hit it in there by any means, but definitely from that up tee, it's in play. I feel bad for all those people up there. They better have their hard hats on today. They're going to be firing them in there all day. But you know, I don't think from the back tee it's in play at all, but from that up tee, they did a great, the PGA of America does a great job setting up the courses, and they did that today.
Let's go to number 5.
Keegan, I know it's only 18 holes, but how does it feel to see yourself back up at the top of a leaderboard at a major?
It's great. I mean, the any round you come out at a major and play well at, it feels good because you know the courses are set up tough. It's a little more pressure. The atmosphere is different. So when you go out there and you perform, it feels good, and especially on a course like this.
That was Keegan Bradley, who is currently in the lead in the early going of this at 3-under tied with Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka actually just spoke with the media. We'll grab that audio in just a moment. But Keegan Bradley won the PGA Championship 10 years ago, the only major victory he's had, and at least for now, in the lead currently. You know, I mentioned the fans there. We've seen a few shots go into the crowd, but it certainly is great to be able to have what looks closer to normal, what we usually expect with these golf events, to see more fans out there instead of what we've experienced for the past 12 months, even if they have to come with their hard hats, as Keegan Bradley said, even if they have to keep their heads on a swivel here this weekend to make sure that they remain safe out there. So Keegan Bradley at 3-under tied for the lead. Brooks Koepka up there as well. And Brooks, a lot of people were giving him a hard time over his checkered Nike hat he was wearing today. It's not the best looking hat. Brooks Koepka sporting a nice goatee as well. He just spoke to the media. He's in the clubhouse tied for the lead at 3-under today, much like Bradley. And here is what Brooks Koepka had to say talking to the media just a few moments ago.
Welcome to the 2021 PGA Championship here at the Ocean Course. Pleased to be joined by Brooks Koepka. Opened with a 3-under 69 today. Your start today, Brooks, a little gut check after the first hole and kind of cranking from there. Is that what happened on one, and how'd you get it going starting at two?
Yeah, probably a poor club choice off 10. I thought three would carry. Didn't, but also I didn't even find the face. I mean, I barely hit the face. And then, you know, the first rule is if you're in trouble, get the hell out. I couldn't reach the green. It was a bad lie. I don't know what I was doing. And just tried to hit a full sand wedge up at the green instead of just chopping it out. So mental mistake there, and deserved every bit of that double bogey. So it kind of helped refocus and, all right, I can't play with any mistakes. you know, maybe one a day, but that was my one, and I got out of the way the first hole. So just had to be real careful and watch what I was doing.
All right. Let's open it up for some questions. Let's go to number 10, please.
Brooks, are you still having any trouble reading putts because you can't get down low enough? And walk me through the putt on 9 that it looked like you thought you had made.
Yeah, I thought I made it. It was a good putt. Yeah, you can get good putts. They don't go in sometimes. And, I mean, 25, 30 feet. You don't expect to make those all the time. So, good putt, can't complain. But, yeah, I can get down low enough. My right leg just kicks out a little bit. And it's what it is.
Are you feeling any better health-wise compared to earlier in the week?
About the same, maybe a little. I mean, every day it gets a little bit better, but I mean, I don't notice it. I notice it kind of more over weeks. You know, week to week, I'll notice it gets a lot better. But it feels fine right now.
Tom on 4.
Brooks, talk about the challenge of those holes into the wind. Starting for you was starting with 14. All of a sudden, when you get there, and all of a sudden the wind just shifts. What was that? What's that challenge for you?
Yeah, you play like 9 straight holes into the breeze, and the way the wind direction is coming from today, it's so difficult because it almost feels straight in, and then you really got to pay attention. It comes from like 1 o'clock, but it shifts to 11 a little bit. It's you're never directly into it. It's always just slightly at an angle, and if you just don't hit the correct shot or know which way the wind is actually blowing, I mean, you can miss it pretty bad. So just trying to make sure. You know, we had the wind direction, the understanding of where it was, and make sure you miss it on the right side.
Also, you talk about feeling better day by day, and I'm assuming all of this is the best you've felt this round since you've come back, and that coupled with it being a major.
You just said it. It's a major. I'm going to show up. I'm ready to play. Been itching to do this since Augusta. I mean, I feel so much better now. I don't need to be 100% to be able to play good.
Doug on 11.
Given how little you've been able to play tournament-wise for the last couple, 2 or 3 months, what is your confidence level like when you come to a place, and is it make it more difficult when it's a test like this?
I love it when it's difficult. I think that's why I do so well in the majors. I just know mentally I can grind it out. When it's windy like this, it's not so much putting. It's more about ball striking, and I feel like I struck it really well today. And I feel like that's why I've done really well. And you got to understand sometimes that par is a good score. You got to understand that 30, 35 feet is a great shot sometimes, and you just got to accept it and move on.
When you talk about getting one mistake out of the way early and refocusing after 10, how much of a sharper refocus is it knowing what you have in terms of the loops and 9 straight into the wind and the tough closing stretch, et cetera?
And it wasn't ideal to start and knowing you've got that coming up. So, you know, it was nice to get it back to, I guess, even before I turned into the wind. But at the same time, you can't do that stuff if you want to win. Just got to be more focused. And I don't know if that's just the decision I made on 10. I don't know if that's a lack of not playing or what. I don't know. It was just stupid, but you know, I was able to recover, I guess.
And what kind of light did you have on the other side of that dune on 15, where you had nothing? I couldn't see it. Was it buried under dune
vegetation? I wouldn't hit it in the dunes. I wouldn't do that. It's not very good. You know, it was a little trampled down from, I guess, all the people walking. But I mean, I could put the club in the back of the ball, but it wasn't going to go much further than it did.
Okay.
Let's go to 5.
Brooks, you've been dealing with an injury and grinding through rehab. What does a round like this do for your confidence in here at a major?
I mean, I felt like I already had confidence. So, in my mind, it's just a major week. So, just show up. That's all you got to do.
Alex, 9.
Brooks, 6 birdies. I doubt there's anybody out here who's going to have 6 birdies today. What do you take from that in regards to the fact that obviously what you're doing is working, and this fact that you said that sometimes you're not really sure what you're going to get with your body? I mean, you're better than you were, but I mean, 6 birdies out here, most people would say that would be pretty hard to do in any round this week.
Yeah, 6 birdies in any round is pretty good, but if I drive in the fairway, I give myself a lot more opportunities. I drove it so poorly today. You know, I made a little adjustment on 18 after hitting it into the hospitality stuff. Ricky told me the ball position got back, and I had to move it up. And, you know, it happens when you start playing into the wind. You know, it just creeps back and back, and you just got to – I mean, we've done 3 days of this. So it's just with the driver, though. It just sneaks back. So I moved it up and actually started to hit the ball with the driver a little bit better. But I got to figure that out, because if I don't figure it out, then I won't be there Sunday.
That was Brooks Koepka just a few moments ago talking to the media. Also heard prior to that from Keegan Bradley, the two leaders right now at 3 under, both in the clubhouse here on day one of the 2021 PGA Championship. Brooks' last win at a major was the PGA Championship in 2019. And remember, he won back-to-back 2018, 2019, hasn't won a major since then. And now, right now, very early on, just an eighth through this weekend, in the lead right now at 3 under with Keegan Bradley. We'll come back and wrap up your Thursday afternoon next here from the 2021 PGA Championship live from Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up your Thursday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. Or find those shows on demand at charlestonsportsradio.com, where you can also find the online stream at charlestonsportsradio.com to let you listen to the Morrow Midday Show from anywhere in the world. You can always listen to us through TuneIn Radio as well, or your smart speaker. Just tell it to play us now on ESPN Radio Charleston and the Morrow Midday Show. If you ever miss anything from the show, such as the worst TV character to ever get two TV shows, let alone one, you can find that on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. We're live from Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island for the 2021 PGA Championship, and we'll be out here all week long. Our coverage brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise I Vitamins, as well as Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. You can also on demand on the podcast hear from some of the golfers today, including currently the two leaders, Brooks Koepka and Keegan Bradley, both at 3 under. A few other golfers are matching them right now at 3 under par as well so far through the first half of day one. We'll be out here all week long covering the event until it wraps up Sunday when we crown a champion here at the 2021 PGA Championship. But before we go, ending on a thought that we started the afternoon with the NBA play-in round continuing tonight, it's the Wizards-Pacers. And if you're looking for something to watch other than baseball or maybe some of the golf once the golf's over later on, you're probably not too excited about Pacers-Wizards, but I will say, when those two played the last time, it was the second highest-paced game in 25 years in NBA history. The over-under is 238. I think it'll be the over. So if you like points, if you like offense, if you like basketball games that turn into track meets that get up and down the floor, I think this could be the game for you tonight. I think we'll see a lot of points. These two are two of the two teams that get up and down the floor the quickest. If Bradley Beal is still dealing with the hamstring, he didn't look great the other night, then I don't know if the Wizards can get past the Pacers. I thought the Wizards would beat the Celtics. And I would pick them against the Pacers, but I don't know how healthy they are. But that's going on tonight. Should be, I would imagine, a lot of points in that game and a fast-paced game. The Lakers won last night to get past the Golden State Warriors and to get into the playoffs. And before we go, just to give you my quick thoughts on what it means for the Lakers, the Warriors, and the other teams in the NBA playoffs. For number one, the Lakers, that showed why last night's game was important for them. It was just the fourth time all year that their starting five played together. And if you watched that game, you saw they're not crisp right now. They're not ready, or at least weren't, for the playoffs. They're lucky they get the Phoenix Suns in the first round, where they can coast a little bit. But they needed an extra game last night before the playoffs. For the Warriors, as good as Steph Curry is, I think last night also showed the limitations. That at the end of the game, when they needed to try to get the ball in his hands to get the shot off, they couldn't. The Lakers double-teamed him with a much taller Anthony Davis, and they couldn't even get the ball inbounded to Steph Curry. And what it means for the rest of the league is that last night, what I just said about Curry and the Warriors also shows my concern for a team like the Bucks. where Giannis is really one-sided in the way he tries to score, and that's why he struggles come playoff time, because you can slow him down when he tries to get to the rim, because he doesn't have much else to his scoring game. But on the flip side, it's what makes the Brooklyn Nets so tough, because if they have their three stars out there, they have three different guys that can beat you at the end of the game in three different ways. Kyrie can get to the rim, Harden's got the step back, Kevin Durant can score from anywhere on the floor. And it's why, assuming they're healthy, I think the Brooklyn Nets still win the NBA Finals this year. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. But coming up next, the coverage continues from Freshfields Village here on Kiawah Island of the 2021 PGA Championship with Fan Talk coming up in just about 5 minutes. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.